We're standing on the rooftop deck of the Hotel Mille Collines, better known to American moviegoers as Hotel Rwanda, the place where in 1994 hundreds of Rwandan Tutsis took shelter, trying to escape the genocide. Today, a family is playing in the pool, and lunch is being served on the veranda to businessmen and tourists. Fred Wassa, a local journalist, is looking out over Rwanda's capital, Kigali.
So much has changed. So much.
Fred is pointing to an area that he says used to be forest. It's shocking to him to see such development.
Have you seen those very beautiful houses with red roofs? Very large houses. All that's new. That was just bush.
There are many changes taking place in Kigali. A new airport is in the works, a new convention center too, and officials are trying to make the city a regional hub for information and communication technology. There are changes in the rest of the country too. They're just not as easy to see. In the countryside, the roads wind through strikingly beautiful hills and valleys. Those hills are terraced to control soil erosion and help Rwandans use every inch of the land for farming. This is where approximately 80 to 90% of Rwandans live. Only about 4% of Rwandans living in the rural countryside have electricity, and there's very little access to running water. Most are subsistence farmers, growing enough to feed their families. Life here goes on much as it has for hundreds of years. But the West, which was accused of standing by and doing nothing to stop the genocide, has tried to reach out in the aftermath. The town of Butaro is at the northern tip of Rwanda, where the country meets Uganda.
My name is Wingabire Justin. I'm a pharmacist manager.
This pharmacist is one of 220 Rwandans who work at this hospital built by the nonprofit group Partners in Health. 50% of Rwandans suffer from depression, he says, then lists the drugs they use to treat those patients.
We have Akineto, Biperidine, Diazepam, Fentanyl.
This hospital saw close to 24,000 patients in 2011, its first year. The international acclaim the hospital attracted helped bring paved roads, a few new restaurants, banks, and generated quite a few jobs. It also inspired something else. The hospital asked the government to back a hydropower station, and they did. The station is harnessing the power of a waterfall. Hundreds of homes that once had no electricity are now connected to this hydropower station, and it supplies the nearby hospital and health center. Rwanda is landlocked and suffers from a lack of natural resources, so getting the maximum return on what they do have is often the goal. In this case, it's water. Rwanda gets a lot of rain and has six massive lakes. It also has the lush flora and fauna of rainforests, more than 100 rare and beautiful African birds, volcanoes, and gorillas. Along the borders between Uganda and the Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda shares the Virunga Mountains. This mountain range has 8 volcanoes, most dormant, and it's the only place in the world where you'll find the world's largest primate, the mountain gorilla, who shares 98% of the same DNA as humans. More than 600 mountain gorillas roam these mountains.
Can you come closer down here, please?
We're trekking to visit a group of gorillas at the Volcanoes National Park with our guide, Eugene Twahira. Before we enter the forest, Eugene smiles and offers sage advice.
You will never run. You can do any other things, but don't try to run away.
Okay, now we're in the forest. Very dark. Thistle is sticking to my head, my hair. You're sort of like walking and crouching, going under the hanging vines. He's cutting the vines with a machete. Why did you do that?
We are close to them. I'm just telling them that we're coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So gorilla, about 6 feet away from me. Huge, huge gorilla.
Muninya, the 440-pound silverback, greets us as we turn the corner. He's sitting upright with a somewhat skeptical expression, like he's judging whether we're okay to meet his group. He's the dominant male in this group of 15 gorillas, which has numerous juveniles, infants, and even twins.
Oh, the twins are playing. Oh, my God, they are so cute.
So those twins, as you can see, they are playing around his mother. They are very healthy now at the moment. Yeah.
The twins wrestle with each other until their mother separates them, holding one in her hand and the other in her upstretched foot.
Those twins are lucky because they can play each other the time his mother is resting, because baby never rests, they keep playing. Yeah, it's nice.
The smells of mint and pine drift through the air.
A lot of them are on their backs, laying in the leaves. Very, very peaceful.
Soon, they'll start wandering through the swamp, the ferns, the wild orchids, and gather bamboo to eat.
Today, if you want to track the gorillas, you have at least to make your reservation a year before.
Faustine Karasera, who leads the tourism sector of the Rwanda Development Board, says gorilla tourism is a substantial source of revenue for the country.
We are coming from less than 5,000 visitors from 1995 to 666,000 last year.
A permit to visit the gorillas cost $500, soon to be $740. Contrast that with the per capita income for a Rwandan, about $550, and you'll see why the government has high hopes for high-end ecotourism. 5% of the revenue brought in from gorilla tourism goes towards community-building programs. Officials say the revenue-sharing program has helped protect the forest and the gorillas from poaching. Prosper Uingeli is the chief warden for the park. He's standing with Francois Nurungutse, the head of this ex-poachers community.
They call themselves saved people. They're saying they have been saved because when they compare where they were, when they were still poachers, they are completely living a different life that they were living when they were poachers.
Prosper says the 600 people who live in this village consider Francois an opinion leader.
As he said before, they did not understand why to conserve the park. But after those trainings and education, actually they started to see things happening. And he gave the example of schools for kids, the water tanks for water collection, but also the development of hotels, but also the road and the electricity that come, and is very, very important to the area around here came because of this tourism development in the area.
Prosper looks at Francois and tells us this man is key to the park's success.
I can't lose them. I don't see anything that can come and compensate what actually they are doing for the park. And yeah, I mean, these guys are very, very, very important.
In the shadowy memory of the genocide's brutality is the beauty of a thousand hills and the people here working together, finding reasons to trust their government and their neighbors. I'm Mary Rose Madden for 88.1 WYPR.
Mbega gahinda, yewe mukobwa, umva yo bakuvuga yagira intimba. Nimuwe ziraje usuye mukunzi, atagushimye ngo aramumanyije.